We're talking to Liam Horan here from Slieneagh Careers, and this is our career corner that Liam does with Aidan every week. And today, two topics really to cover. You did the interview, you got the verdict from the interview panel, either a yes or a no, but how did you perform? Well, how did you actually perform, Liam?
Yes, that's the key thing. A lot of people go to interview and they say they get the job. They presume that this was a good performance by them, or vice versa. They don't get the job and they therefore presume that it was a bad interview performance by them. Whereas in fact there could be a lot of other factors determining whether or not you got the job. You could have done a great interview, but there might have been just a better candidate, or there might have been the boss's nephew. So that could rule you out. Or you could have done a very poor interview, but you might have got the job because one of your referees said, look, trust me, this is a really excellent candidate. So you could come away confusing yourself or misleading yourself about your interview performance. So what I'd like to talk about today is how you, what you should do to assess your own performance independent of what the judgment was from the interview panel. So I have a few points to go through on that. And if people want to email us and get that job at slieneagh@careers.com with interview performance in the subject line, we'll send them on some information about this as well. So if somebody has done a recent interview or is about to do an interview, they can use the form we'll send them to assess that, to assess how they did.
But a bit hard to assess it before the interview, Aidan. Do you give like pointers then? Is that what you're saying before us?
Yeah. Well, the pointers that will be used afterwards to assess the performance can be used beforehand to prepare for the interview. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I understand.
Have a dual purpose there.
Yeah.
Questions you should be asking yourself, and for example, did I dress appropriately? And a lot of people underdress for interview, particularly if the job they're going for doesn't require them to dress very formally. But we would argue that the interview itself is a formal process and you should dress up for that. You will rarely regret dressing up, but sometimes you will regret dressing down. So that's one thing. But did I dress appropriately, stroke professionally? Did I shake hands firmly if the opportunity presented itself with the interview panel? Again, a weak handshake can be remembered long after what you said in the interview. In fact, a very weak handshake is something people tend not to forget, actually. So just to shake hands firmly without trying to crunch knuckles or anything like that.
A lot of people might, and I noticed that from, you know, people that come into us here at the radio or whatever, and sometimes they shake hands with you and they have what's like we used to call the wet fish handshake. And is there anything they can do about that? I mean, maybe that's just the way they don't even realise they're doing that. Should people practice a handshake with somebody at home maybe, and they could advise them?
Absolutely. I think the biggest issue there, they don't realise, really, you know, so it's just a matter of clasping the hand in a bit firmer to go a bit further. You know, the feeling of what you're talking about there is where you extend your hand and somebody else kind of more or less just extends their fingers and you end up shaking their fingers. You need to go as far as the thumb and just give a solid handshake. It needn't be, you know, a sort of a muscle mass kind of thing, but just solid enough to be memorable and to be, or certainly not so much to be memorable, but more than being memorable for the wrong reason, like you said a minute ago, the wet fish thing. That people remember that bad handshake. I bet you can recall people who came into the studio or in various other places whose handshake wasn't very firm and what had that sort of phenomenon to it. So just to avoid that as well. Something else is, did I talk clearly and distinctively? People in an interview can get rushed a bit. They can be nervous, so they can talk a bit quickly. In preparation, you should prepare for slowing down a little bit and afterwards assess, did you do that properly? Did I establish good eye contact? This is another one which comes from the handshaking school, so to speak. And people find it hard at times to maintain eye contact. A trick that they can use in an interview or anywhere else they find it difficult to maintain good eye contact is to look at people on their chin. Even very closely, people won't realise that you're not actually looking them in the eye. And I've done this at a test at quite a close level with people. Look at people's chin, they'll think you're looking at them, and yet you avoid that moment of intimacy or window to the soul kind of moment that a meeting of eyes can create in an interview.
Yeah, because people don't really trust you if you don't look them in the eye, saying you don't have to look them in the eye, but they assume when you're looking them in the eye, they don't trust you if you're looking at the floor.
Yes, exactly. Some people also, when they're trying to conjure up something, look, I think it's left is where we look for creativity and right is where we look for history, or vice versa, according to some body language.
Yes.
And that's okay at times to look a little bit away, but you should be coming back to and maintaining eye contact, or what I have given you there, the pretense of eye contact on an ongoing basis. A lot, in more than a handshake, this will only be remembered if you do it poorly. If you do it well, you know, it won't necessarily be remembered. So it's more the avoidance of it, of the bad side of it, rather than doing the good side, if you know what I mean. Another one is generally remain relaxed and composed. You know, people can get very nervous going to an interview, and nerves can take over, just like sports people or singers can, you know, they can have nerves going to the arena. And if they don't control them or transmute them, as the phrase is, into something of use, they can take over. And there's a very famous incident of an American singer singing the national anthem at a football game in the States. Just her nerves beat her, and she ended up making a mess of it, really. So, you know, you've got to do exercises in terms of putting yourself through a little bit of mock interviewing with friends, visualizing or thinking about where you're going to be on the day in terms of the interview, and just getting in the habit of being relaxed and composed. And it won't always happen for you, but the more often you realize the need to just breathe a bit slower, take your time, the better you will get at it.
Liam, a lot of people would be very, you know, they just don't feel comfortable doing this role play and this kind of doing interviews with friends. What about applying for jobs that you don't really want at all, as in, you know, they might be under your skill set, but there might be a good idea to go along and do them, and if you get offered the job, you can always turn it down. But would that be a good way to practice?
Yeah, I've actually recommended some people to go for jobs that if they got them, fair enough, but not ones that they're desperately keen to get. Because what can happen, which is what you're touching on there, is that if the job they really, if the first interview they go to is one they really want to get, they could psych themselves out of it. So it's a bit like playing your first match in Croke Park. So I think it's not a bad idea to go for jobs that you're not absolutely sold on. I'd be a bit wary of going for jobs that you definitely won't take. But definitely I would look at jobs that you're not sold on to get yourself in the groove and get yourself some practice. But mock interviews will do it as well. You'll be amazed how even a friend who says, look, come to my house at 6 o'clock next Tuesday evening, have your suit on, you'll sit in the front room for 2 minutes and then I'll bring you into the sitting room or whatever. Even that alone actually puts pressure on people, and it's a very good exercise. Don't just rock up hoping that will happen on the day. I've said this before with Aidan here, you know, don't be like the best man who thinks that no preparation and 3 glasses of brandy will get you through. It won't. So put yourself on the spot before you get there.
Liam, what about when the interview is over and you go home and you're saying to yourself, God, you know, why did I say that, or why didn't I say something else? What's the situation with making a phone call the next day and saying, listen, I was a little bit nervous yesterday and I should have just pointed out something to you, or is that a no-go?
I wouldn't try and redo the interview in that way, but you certainly can. I recommend to people that they send a thank you note after the interview. And in that, you could say, I would just like to clarify one particular point, perhaps, and hope that they take that on board. The interview panel may not reconvene. They may have made their decision already. But I know myself in interviewing, when somebody takes the time the following day to thank you for the interview, but secondly, if they're a candidate you're keen on to actually reaffirm their interest in the position, it can be quite powerful. In the case you're talking about there, I'd say just dropping a line, thanking them, and by the way, just to clarify, I felt I didn't fully outline something yesterday. I wouldn't necessarily admit to nerves, but I would possibly just try and make a subtle deposit about what you felt you didn't answer well or whatever.
Yeah, maybe just one point. But you mentioned there that you wouldn't mention nerves, and obviously, you know, if depending on what the job that they're applying for, I suppose, is, what about if it was a job like a backroom, like an accountant's job, where they won't really be dealing with people or anything much, and they are nervous? Would it be all right then to say, you know, look, excuse me, I feel a little bit nervous. I hope it doesn't show, but I feel a little bit nervous at the interview.
If in an interview, I don't think that's a problem, because interviews are not elocution tests. They're not reading the news. They needn't be, you know, a seamless, without an or without an ah kind of a conversation. And you know this from broadcasting. Lots of broadcasters and ah and start and stop, but because they transmit a confidence that they're going to get to the end of their point, people don't even notice. So the first thing I'd say is don't set a standard for yourself that's so high that if you won't you kind of collapse the scrum. Allow for the fact that you will and start and stop. And sometimes it can be very personable or very endearing to say, you know, I am a bit nervous here today. And for the very point you make, if the job is not going to involve broadcasting, for example, so what if they're not a public speaker? You know, that's not the real issue. And I'd say, but the main thing is don't set the bar so high that you feel that if you the whole thing is gone, because you will and you will and you will start and you will stop. There are some others I can run through as well. I don't know how we are on time.
Yeah, we have about a minute and a half.
Some other things that people should try, and I can go through these quickly then in the interview. They should communicate the job objectives, their knowledge of the job. They should communicate their work values. They should make their past abilities relevant to the job at hand. That's an important one. People frequently talk about abilities that are not relevant to the job at hand. Think about what the job at hand is and what relevant skills you have. A guiding principle in careers is not so much to be a slave to chronology, but to be a slave to relevance. Relevance is more important than chronology. Did you neutralize weaknesses? This is a big one. It's a whole question in itself, but to try and turn weaknesses on their head. Everybody has got to learn something, and no job does somebody walk in absolutely ready-made. So don't feel that some weaknesses are going to hold you below the waterline either. Do you avoid flat yes or no answers to questions? Do you show an awareness of the organization? You must talk about the organization throughout the interview. You must let them know you know what they're about, what they're trying to achieve, and how you can help them. And finally, do you make a final case for your selection? Before going out the door, do you say, you know, just to let you know, I really would like this job. I think I'd bring great value to this job, and I hope you consider me very seriously. I did some work with the HR manager who said that in dealing with graduates, the biggest miss they find is that graduates in particular don't often enough do that, make a strong final case for their selection.
Okay, that's about all the time we have, Liam. Just thinking there while you were going through a lot of your points, and there's a few of them I'd love to come back on, and we might do it next week, just to kind of... I'd be like the person that did the interview, I'll ask you afterwards. But what about kids that are now listening to you that have done their Leaving Cert, are going into college and that, and are thinking about, you know, maybe getting a bit of a college job? Surely they can pick up some points from this as well.
Yes, anybody who pays money to somebody to do a job has a need. There's something they're trying to get fulfilled. So if it's only a college job to tide you over, you still must think, what is this employer looking for? What are they trying to fulfill here? What would the successful candidate look like? How would that successful, and I don't mean physically, but what would their attributes be? And you've got to identify those. Going into an interview without doing that, you really are flying by the seat of your pants. You need to know, what is the employer looking for? And that's true then, and whether it's, as we said, a college job right up to the top job in the land. If you don't know what the employer is looking for, you don't stand a great chance of meeting their needs. And the employer will buy what they want to buy, so you've got to try and be the person who has what they're looking for.
All right, Liam Horan, Managing Director at Slee Nua Careers. You can contact Slee Nua Careers, by the way. The website is slinuacareers.com. So check that out, slinuacareers.com. What's the best phone number, Liam, if people want to check anything with you there on that?
09495 is our Ballinrobe office. 09495 429 65 is our Ballinrobe office.
All right. Thanks indeed, Liam. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Bennett.